All right, good morning. We'll get started. So we'll continue on with the halachas of Haggalah, Kasher and Kelem. And yesterday, we did the Sunday morning shir, and we discussed whether a person needs to wait 24 hours before kashering his Kelem for Pesach or not. And we said that lichatchila, yes, a person should wait 24 hours, but b'di'eved, we discussed the machlokes amongst the Rishonim. How you look at the lumnus of why the kli doesn't absorb is going to affect whether one has to wait 24 hours or not. And we ended up saying that lechatchila, yes, a person should wait 24 hours, but it's only a chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah that he mentions, no agin lahachmer. But me'ikra adin, the Shulchan Aruch really paskins that a person doesn't have to wait 24 hours if he's kashering his kelim before Pesach. So therefore, if a person's really in a pinch, and there's 24 hours left or less to Pesach, and he realized, oh, I didn't kosher that spoon that I need, or any other of his metal kalim, or that kiddush cup, or whatever it is. So then what a person can do is he can do it within the 24 hours, and we said it's even better if he adds a little bit of liquid soap, because the liquid soap will be pogam any of the flavor that comes out. It'll mess up the flavor. And then for sure you can kasher a kli even if it is a ben yomo kli. It was used within 24 hours. Okay, so now the question is, how hot does the water have to be in order to do Haggalah? So when you're boiling up kelem, how hot does it have to be? So we find all over the place in the Gemara and the post game that it has to be rotchen. It has to be boiling water. What exactly does that mean? Tiny bubbles, you have to wait for medium bubbles. You'll see in some of these, and what the kashrus organizations put out, they'll say it has to be a rolling boil. So what exactly does it have to be? So we have over here on page 7, those who suggest to wait for a rolling boil. Some say that the tiny little small bubbles coming out, that's not considered really roasting, that's not really considered boiling. And therefore, some kashrus organizations like the CRC, others, you'll see over here in footnote 13, I quoted some of the different kashrus organizations that say that it should be, it should be heated and maintained at a rolling boil. So that's like a real bubble. You usually have to wait like an extra, 5 minutes for it to hit that point. And I think they're being a little more machmer than necessary to say rolling boil, just because they know during the process it's going to cool down at certain points once you put the kelim in. So then it's going to be a little less of a boil. So I think really they hold it should be like medium boil. Like just not the tiny little bubbles coming up, but something a little more boiling. That's really boiling. And they say rolling boil because that way even if it cools down a little bit, you'll still have a nice boil going. That's what I believe. But that's just me. me reading into what they're saying. But Rav Heinemann, though, he says that there's no din kazayas when it comes to bubbles. It's funny, actually, how he says it. He says it roschem. There's no din kazayas when it comes to bubbles. It doesn't have to be any particular size. He holds even the small bubbles coming up is going to be enough. That's already considered boiling.
Why would they not hold different?
Because they said that little boils, that's not what Chazal meant when they said roschem, boiling.
And that's
lav dafka, like the temperature.
Don't you say that water, once it gets 100 degrees, it can't get hotter?
Can? Yeah.
What?
It's because it hasn't had a chance to get up to the top to turn to steam yet.
So. Right, so once it turns to steam, it can't really get hotter.
Okay.
I believe, unless you have some kind of way of keeping it in. I set my coffee boiler machine to 130 Celsius, because it's meant to steam. And you can even set high. So yeah, you could really boil it even hotter. And definitely something like oil can go much hotter than water. So b'kitzer, Me'ikar adin, I think, like Rav Heinemann, small bubbles are really enough to do your Haggalah. Already at small bubbles, a person could do if he wants to be, a little more machmer, wait for medium. And to do like the kashrus rolling boil, if you can do it, kol hakavod. Wait for maybe a little more than the tiny little bubbles that are coming up, where you can only see tiny little bubbles and only from the middle. Because that way you'll make sure the sides are also really boiling. It's not just a few little bubbles coming up from the middle. So make sure, you know, the whole pot is kind of boiling, and that's when a person should do it, should do Hagalah. What about at high elevation, right? If you're in a place like Denver, Colorado, where I used to live, water there, it boils at 203 Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is, Celsius, sorry. But that's 12 degrees lower than everywhere else. Usually water boils at 212 Fahrenheit. That's 100 degrees Celsius. And in Denver, it can boil at 203, which is more like, I don't know, just throwing out a number. What? No, maybe. Maybe 95 or something like that.
What's Fahrenheit boiling?
212. Yeah. So it boils less because the air pressure is less. Yeah. So the higher up you go, less air pressure, and therefore it's easier for it to boil. So there's no din. Meaning the din is just that it has to be roschen. As long as it's boiling. What that means is it's pretty wild, right? You can use a kli down below, right, on the first story of your house, and it's going to, the flavor of non-kosher is going to absorb at, let's say, 212, at 100 degrees Celsius, and then you can kosher it at a lower temperature, right? If you go up to Denver or you go up to the second story of your house, it's going to be a little bit lower, the temperature that it boils at. But nevertheless, that works. And the din is just that it has to be roasted, and that'll kosher anything. And similarly, even if you fry oil in a pan, right, where it can reach much hotter than 100 degrees Celsius, we don't need to say kibolo kachpolto when it comes to koshering a kli, when it comes to hagala. As long as you have rotchen water, it'll spit out. It'll be boleya, the flavor that's within the pot. Okay, so that's all in regards to how hot the water has to be. So the din is just rotchen, lechatchila, wait for medium bubbles over here. And then rinsing the kli after koshering it. So we have a halacha on Shulchan Aruch, source number 14 on page number 7. He says, no hagin, the minhag is lishtof hakli b'mayim karim, to rinse the kli with cold water, achar hagala miyad, right after you do hagala. So you dip your kli in, rinse it off in cool water right after. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 15, miyad kedei shelo yachzor v'yivla mimayim rotchim shaleim. In order that, because you're going to have the hot water from the that spit out of the kli, if it's still chilling on your silverware that you just koshered, so now it might spit back into it. So therefore, while it's still hot, you want to rinse it off, get rid of all the excess kosher water that was on there, and by rinsing it off, you'll get rid of it all. So v'yivla mimayim rotchem shaleim v'sheyesh bahem plitas chametz, because on that water that's sitting on your kli, it has a little bit of the absorption of chametz. U'mikol makom, but says the Mishnah Berurah, this is all a chumrah and this is all a minag. But b'di'eved afim lo shataf klal, b'di'eved, if you didn't rinse it, it's fine, ein lachush, you don't have to worry about it. Taha ein magilin ela kodem zman iser, because we only do hagala before the zman iser, so a mashahu of chametz isn't yet aser anyways, at the point when you're doing hagala. Oshahu eino ben yomo, or we say that it's eino ben yomo kli, and then for sure it's only tam pagum. That can reabsorb back into your kli. O sheyesh b'mayim shishim negdo, or you might even have 60 times that little amount of water that's left over on your kli. And therefore, b'di'eved, one doesn't have to worry about rinsing his kli afterwards. But lechatchila, a person should rinse the kli afterwards. What I do is I take one of those disposable tins, fill it up with water, big one, and then I dip. What? Yeah, dunk it in, and I just dunk them all into the cool pot water afterwards. So I just dunk them all in, and then I leave them there, and then when I'm done, I take them all out. So that's just an easy way of doing it. Shouldn't be very complicated. You don't have to go one by one rinsing each kli. I kosher all my silverware. I don't buy new ones because I have good silverware, and I've never lived in a place where I've been like, oh, I'm going to be here for the next 5 years. I'm going to buy kosher pesach. Kosher pesach silverware. So I kosher all my silverware. So when you're doing huge amounts, right, I have like 150 pieces that I'm koshering. So I just leave that my huge 9x13, I don't know, actually much bigger than that. My huge tin, and I leave everything in there.
Do you kasher all at once? You put all of the cutlery into a big pot.
Yeah.
That's a boiling water.
Yeah.
Pot of boiling water. And then how do you get the cutlery out into?
Tongs. I use the tongs. I'm putting them all in. I try putting them in one at a time or two at a time. Meaning we're going to see you need a little bit of space in between. Meaning if you're putting a whole bunch together, so then the hot water might not get in between. So then you could really just stir it up or shake it up a little bit so that the water gets in between and make sure to kosher all sides of the kli. But what I do is I put them in, you know, a few at a time, making sure there's a little bit of space. Then they kind of sit at the bottom for 20 seconds. Maybe I'll do 20 at a time, and then I remove them all after 10 to 15 seconds. Let them sit there.
And
koshering process.
Yesterday we were discussing, you know, like let's say you have fleishik soup and you put a bit of milk and you put a bit more.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're doing 20 at a time.
Yeah.
Is that's not an issue? That's already you don't have your shishim.
Yeah, because you don't need shishim. If it's eno ben yomo, for sure you don't need shishim. And me'ikra din, even if it is a ben yomo, because it's still hetera before the zman iser chametz, so then we say that even the blios that are going to come back in, we rely on the Shulchan Aruch, that it's okay. But over here we have, right, so even though you don't have shishim, it's eno ben yomo water that's coming back out and then back in, so we say it's not a problem. Yeah, so I kosher the tongs. I just, even if you use chametz dik, you could really kosher the tongs itself. So dip them in, then the other half. So you do the tongs first, or kosher dik. Last year we had brand new tongs. This year, I think we still kept our tongs. We'll see. But even if you don't, you can really kosher your tongs.
If you kosher tongs, do you have to kosher the entire tongs, or just the part that goes in the water?
Entire. Yeah, kosher the entire. So dip in half, but then that half's going to be pretty hot, and you don't have kosher pesach tongs to hold it with. I use a rubber glove. It's really easy. The medium thickness rubber glove is already enough. You could even touch the boiling water with it. So when I splash over the sides, I just do it directly with my glove. You feel a little bit warmth through the glove, but definitely won't get burnt or anything like that. And it just makes it a lot safer. I don't know, in case you, by accident, the tong slips and you get a big splash or something like that. So you don't have to worry.
It's not the answer, let us play.
What? Yeah, good. Okay. So now the next question is, can you do Hagala with liquids other than water? So interesting Shiloh over here. We mentioned that this comes up as a big Shiloh in the chocolate factories, where they can't put boiling water through their equipment, because if they do, it's going to ruin, what?
Spoiling.
Yeah, it'll spoil all the chocolate. Even a tiny bit of water, supposedly, messes up the chocolate run. So what do they do in such a situation? Schmirling chocolate, right? You're wondering why it's $10 a bar. This is it's because they need to put cocoa butter instead of their lecithin, soy lecithin. So they need, and then they do a whole koshering before, and it's a complex process. So says the Rama, source number 16. You can't do hagala any other liquid other than water. Mihu, however, b'di'eved mehani hagala b'chol mashke b'di'eved, any mashke really works for hagala. So the chocolate factories, they'll rely on the b'di'eved because it's a b'di'eved situation, right? They can't do hagala with water or it'll cause a major loss. And therefore, it's before the fifth hour, okay?
Does that mean for me it's b'di'eved to eat that chocolate? Meaning who's that?
No. So this is b'di'eved if you don't have a choice, meaning if this is the only way of doing it, so then it'll work.
But I'm allowed to eat it like
Yeah, so now for you it's a lechatchila.
They have no choice, basically.
Yeah, when doing the kashering. I'm sure they have other tzirufim also to add in why they can be mako. I don't know the full shayla. So how long should a person leave the kalim in boiling water? So over here we have a little bit of a machlokas rishonim of how long it should be left in. We'll see over here in the Pri Chadash. Says the Pri Chadash, source number 17. How long should a person leave the kli in the boiling vat of water? Kishamagilamosa, when you're doing hagala. So Haramban Kasav, the Ramban writes, Umasha lehu begavaihu adapalti. You should leave it in until the flavor is going to spit up. The Gam Harambam Kasav, cane. The Rambam also writes you should leave it in for a while. Give it a few seconds until everything has enough time to spit up all the flavor that's inside of it. But you can't just dip it in for a second and bring it out. So that's what the Rambam writes. Achif loitu veharan hosef umasha kli b'toch amayim akadeshi yira be'omet yafesh apalat masha bala. The Ran also writes this, that you should leave it in long enough until you can be like, okay, I left it in long enough that it could have spit out everything. Vegama rajba kasa b'tshuva shaloni sparish shir hashehiya miklal. But the Rajba writes in a tshuva that we don't find any kind of shear how long a person needs to leave the kli when he inside the water when he's doing gagala. Michlal, that implies the lekulu ba'i ketzah shear, that all of these you need a little amount, so you have to leave it in for a few seconds. Avala tur va'amordechai, but the tur and Mordechai, the guys maimoni and the guys maimoni, kasusha olam noagim, they write that the minag is lehotzian ulachnisan miad, just to dip it in for a second and then to remove it. So they hold, you don't need to leave it in until the kli heats up and it has enough time to spit up everything. You can literally just dip it in and remove it. V'yira demin hagan shal Yisrael toirahi, and says the Pri Chadash, he seems to side, like the Torah and the Mordechai, and the Gaos Maimoni, that you can really just dip it in and remove it. So there's also one opinion of the Meiri that the Pri Chadash left out over there. And the Meiri writes, this is footnote number 16, Kishamartichan es akli b'toch amayim rotchin, tzarech la'ashoso me'at sha'akli mitoch shehu tzonen, kishehu nichnas l'shaite hamayim mafigin tzinaso. You have to wait for the kli to heat up inside, to reach the level of temperature that the outside, that the boiling water is. Meaning if you just dip it in for a second, that doesn't give the kli any considerable amount of time to actually heat up to the level of rotchin, to the level of the boiling water. So that's why the Meir is writing that you should really leave it in long enough where the kli can heat up and can actually spit out the flavor. And
you've got no way of measuring any of that, so...
Yeah, so it's all...
it depends on how big it is, now, or whatever.
Yeah. So we'll see...
Practically, it doesn't really... there's no way of doing that.
Yeah, so we'll see what the cautious organizations they recommend, and they do all these kind of nerdy experiments where they stick it in, and then they pull it out, and they put the temperature gun to check how hot the kli is and how many seconds it takes for them to actually heat up the kli to the level of the water. And we'll see. They recommend anywhere between usually 10 to 15 seconds. Some recommend up to 30 seconds.
This shear of boiling is a completely different shear to yad sur lettuce, right? It's way higher, is that right?
Yeah, this is way hotter.
So why do we sometimes say yad sur lettuce and sometimes we say boiling?
Boiling is only bahagala. Yad sur lettuce is when it comes to like cooking on Shabbos or anything. So that's when water starts to cook, is yad sur lettuce.
Right.
So when it comes to kashrus, in order for flavor time to transfer, you need the yad sur lettuce bo, the water to be hot enough. Unless you leave it for 24 hours, then you have a din kavush. It's another way of it absorbing. So that's in Shabbos and Kashrus. The shear is yad sur lettuce bo. That's when it's considered bishul, and that's when you have flavor transferring is by the shear of yad sur lettuce bo. Hagala yad sur lettuce bo doesn't do anything. You need specifically rotchin boiling, but that's only a din by hagala, not a din by Shabbos or Kashrus or anything like that.
Flavor transfers though at a yad sur lettuce bo.
Yeah, already at yad sur lettuce bo, the flavor starts transferring.
The Meiri is saying here at the end that you can't leave it in too long, because if you left it in too long, it would go back and reabsorb it.
Yeah, just like we saw before. But we said that's only a noag in lahachmir kind of din. But yeah, he read the end over here where he says v'chein tzarich lo tzio be'ad she'retichas hamayim al amda. Meaning what he's saying is that you shouldn't turn off the hot pot of water and just with your kelim in, right? You're too lazy to pull them out, or you don't have a tongs. So he's saying you shouldn't just turn off the fire, let them chill in there until the water actually cools, and then you have an easy way to remove it. Why? Because then it's going to reabsorb the flavor from the water. But we saw already in the Shulchan Aruch that it's not really a problem. He holds you don't have to rinse off the kelim lechatchila. Even if the hot water is left on there.
Hours?
What's that?
You leave it
Yeah, because it's already pagam water, and it's not going to reabsorb. It kind of gets into our whole question yesterday of why doesn't the flavor that spit out reabsorb back into the kli? That was our discussion yesterday. I'll send you the shir.
The Miri is very difficult to say. He says leave it in there long enough that the flavor will come out of the kli, but short enough that, and then at that exact split second, take it out before it reabsorbs.
Like, yeah. No. Well, he's just saying don't leave it in. Keep it boiling while it's in there. Remove it while it's still boiling. So he's not giving an end shear. He's just saying don't leave it in until the water. He says be'ad sheritichas hamayim al amda while it's still boiling the water.
At that point, it's still kashering.
Yeah, because at that point it's still kashering. Yeah, but don't let it cool. Yeah, if you do the soap trick, then yeah.
Does the soap need to be kosher to Pesach?
I don't know. I think all soap is, I don't know, I don't want to get involved here. but yeah, generally it's definitely Kelev isn't going to eat it and stuff like that. I don't know if there's such a thing. I don't know if it's a thing to put any chametz tikka stuff in soap. So I don't believe the kosher organizations require kosher Pesach soap specifically. But I totally could be wrong. It could be you have bedatz soap in Eretz Yisrael. And I don't want to minimize anything. There are people who are machmir on anything, specifically things that you're going to be putting in your mouth. So something like toothpaste or something like that, then there's much more of a reason to be machmir. People are even machmir on shampoos, based on a Rav Eliashev, who's quoting from, I can't remember where he's quoting from, Rav Eliashev, but it's a mega chumrah. It's basically that even though it's any being nana, from something, even if it's a kelev, wouldn't eat it. But anytime you're being nana from any kind of chametz, a person should be machmer on it. When I do the Erev Pesach shir, I'll try to.
Edible, like shoe polish.
Yeah, even. so that's why. Laundry detergent and all these kind of things. But for sure something that people are putting in your mouth.
Yeah, but according to that, let's say you had a business selling toiletries, you wouldn't be able to sell shampoo. You having
a no? No, so you would be, it's a chumrah, it's mitam chumrah. So he doesn't hold you even have to sell it. He just holds you shouldn't use
what about,
it.
Like,
so it's not like chametz she'avar alav as a Pesach or anything like that.
Can I say any liquid, like deodorants and that,
yeah, any liquid?
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of the kosher organizations, they have these whole lists of shampoos you shouldn't use because you're being nana.
What about intravenous, so you're not swallowing?
What about this? Yeah. Yeah. So it has to be, yeah. It has to be derech achila. Yeah. Meaning there isn't, karcha begemi is like a whole shiloh in the Gemara. If you wrap chametz, begemi, so you're not being nana from the chametz in any way, but it's going into your system. And there it's derech achila. So something like an IV, lechara wouldn't be a problem. I'm sure there's machmirim. But when it comes to IV, then it's a health reason, and then there wouldn't be any reason to be machmir. Okay.
But by the way, but IV, they say on Yom Kippur that people are machmir, by the way. I
mean, this not to, yeah.
Yeah, because like, you're hydrating yourself. So you,
yeah.
It depends how sick you are. But
it's better than doing shiurin.
Some people want to say it the other way.
Really?
Yeah, it was a shy last year, yeah.
Okay. I had the shayla to myself 1 year. I was getting faint. So it was a shayla if I should do shiurin. And the Hatzalah guy in Dover Heights was like, I could just give you an IV. He's like, it's... But there the shayla is, meaning now you're going to have possibly a Jew coming in and giving you chabura on Yom Kippur. Of course, it's for health reasons, so it's all going to be
behetim. The Yom Kippur is inoy that you should suffer the dehydration. So now someone's pumping water into you, you're completely rehydrated, so it's a much
better... Yeah, but I don't know.
That's what Rav Donnerbaum said. That
really?
Someone came to him and said, should I do shiurim, little or larger amounts?
And he said,
and he said
wow. Okay. I would have said the opposite, but I've heard the opposite as well. But okay, it could be. okay, so let's see how the Mishnah Berurah paskens in terms of how long you should leave it in. So says the Mishnah Berurah. This is source number 17. V'gam shelo lehashos osam klal el lohotzio and takeoff. Gam kein eino nachon de tzarch lishos me'at ad sheyiflot. So he says eino nachon to just dip it in and remove it. You should really leave it in until there's enough time for the blios to be removed, the absorption to spit out. And he says, like what George said, it's difficult to know exactly what the timeline is, right? So unless you have somebody, you know, putting it in and then putting a temperature gauge on the kli when you remove it, then it's going to be difficult. So the Mishnah Berurah says it isn't proper to just dip them in and remove them. But the Eved, it'll be okay because Me'ikar Adin, the Pri Chadash we saw already says that the Minog was just to dip them in and remove them. And he explains in the Shar Tzion that even though the Minog is really like the tour that one could just dip the Kli in and out, one should nevertheless be Machmer L'chatchila to leave it in because that's what the Svara seems to dictate. Meaning reasoning, logic seems to say that the Kli actually has to get hot enough, like the Me'iri. The Kli actually has to get hot enough where it can spit out the flavor. And if there's a whole din of that the Mayim should be Rotchim, that the water should be boiling, Pashtas, that's in order that the Kli can reach the temperature of that boiling water, because that's when the Kli spits out the flavor. So over here on page 9, we have what all the Kashrus organizations recommend. OU, the recommendation is 10 seconds. Rabbi Neustadt just says a few seconds, which I'm going to guess is like 3, 4, 5, a little bit less. That's the Chaf K. Rav Heinemann says that the thicker the Kli, because Rav Heinemann really goes like the Me'iri, that the thicker the Kli, the longer it's going to take for it to, for the boiling water to penetrate. And he says that even a pot that's very thick at the bottom, like one of those real heavy-duty pots, or those Le Creuset cast iron kind of pots. Actually, Le Creuset, you can't really kosher because it has an enamel outside. But let's say cast iron pot. So even that, he says 15 seconds is really the max, no more than 15 seconds. So even if it's a really thick pot, 15 seconds is the max. So practically, I recommend 10, 15 seconds, and then you're done. And as we mentioned, the person don't let the kalim sit there at the bottom of the kli until it cools. You should remove them with the tongs while the water is still boiling. That we already saw in the Me'iri. Okay, so now it's already 8 o'clock. Anybody who needs to leave is welcome. We'll just do a quick FAQ of all the frequently asked questions when it comes to Haggalah. Can I do Haggalah on my Milchig and Fleishig Kelim in the same pot? Or do I need to do separate pot for Milchig, separate pot for Fleishig Kelim? So the Shulchan Aruch says that as long as the Kelim were in a Ben Yomo, they weren't used within 24 hours, they can be kashered in the same pot. One could even add a little squirt of water if he's of soap if he's a little nervous about the flavor coming out. Really, one can kosher both milchig, fleishig in the same pot. Doesn't have to worry. Can you dump a whole bunch of silverware in together? Do you need to put them in one by one? The Shulchan Aruch writes that a person shouldn't put a bunch of kelim in at the same time. He says in footnote number 23, Lo yaniach kelim harbe letoch kli ve'agilam yachad im nogim zebazeh, in parentheses. He says if they're touching one another. So if you're going to put them in, separate them a little bit, or you can dump the whole amount together, but kind of mix them up with the tongs, pull them apart a little bit. I would say shake, but then you might have boiling water that's going to... So maybe not recommended. So as long as there's a little bit of space between the kelim, it's fine. Practically speaking, you can put multiple in, shake it a little bit, something like that. What type of pot should I use? Should I use a milchig pot if I'm koshering fleishig or a fleishig pot? When I'm koshering for chametz, should I, for chametz, the kosher lePesach? So should I use a chametz dikah pot or should I use a kosher lePesach dikah pot? This comes up all the time. So you should use the status of whatever you want to turn that kli into. Right, so whatever you're trying to turn the kli into, that's the type of pot you should use. So if you have a spoon that you trafed up, milchig fleishig at the same time, or you put it in chazer or something like that, you want to kosher it. So now put it into a kosher pot. If you used it for milchig, now you want to switch it to fleishig. So then use a fleishig pot to kosher that utensil. If you're switching from chametz dik to kosher lePesach, non-chametz. So then use a non-chametz pot. Right? Whatever you want to turn it into, that's the status of the pot that lichatchila a person should use.
If you've already boiled it up, what should it matter?
What's that?
If it's already boiling inside, what should it matter?
Meaning what? If you already kashered the kli, why should?
Well, you put it on the
boiling water.
The pot is boiling. It's on the fire. Why should it matter which pot you're using?
It's just because you have tam pogum of that thing that's now getting into the kli that you're using. There could be two possible issues. One is that let's say you're switching from, you use a chometzdika pot to kasher your kelim. So one is, if that chometzdika pot is, let's say, a ben yomo. So now all this chometz blios is going to get out into the water, and then you're going to ruin all the kelim that you're using. So that's why you want to use a kosher pesachdika pot, which isn't going to spit out any counter blios that you're looking for. So if you use a chometzika pot, then the blios are going to be chometz that come out into the pot, and then when you kasher your kelim, there's going to be blios of chometz in the water. So therefore, better to use a kosher pesachdika pot.
And you put some soap into it, as we said before.
Yeah. So then it'll be okay. Make a din. If you did something like soap or something like that. Do you need to spill out the Hagala water after kashering kelim, or can you drink or cook it? The Ramah writes that the minhag is not to use the Hagala water after, even if it's an Eino Ben Yomo, because the flavor has some Eino Ben Yomo blias in there. So minhag is not to use that Hagala water. Can you do Hagala with half the kli at a time, meaning dip in half and then dip in the other half? We see in the Shulchan Aruch source number 18, Machva shemetagnin ba muteras ba'agala v'imi arucha, if it's very long, meisim chete v'hofech o du meisim chete ha'acher. You could do half and then do the other half. All that is mutter. And then over here we have a summary of everything that we need to know for Hagala for Pesach. How do I kasher the rim of a pot for Pesach? We said splash, boil up water within the pot, and then for the rim of the pot, right, fill it up to as high as it can go, practically without spilling over, and then splash some water over the top of the pot, or we said you can stick in a smaller pot to displace some of the volume and cause it to overflow, however you want to overflow the pot. How long should you leave a kli that you're koshering in the boiling water? We said 10 to 15 seconds is really ideal. Longer than that, shorter than that, but the evid is okay, even if you just dipped it in. Do I need to let the kelim sit unused for 24 hours before kashering? For Ashkenazim, then lechatchila, yes, but the evid, no. And Sfardim hold that you don't need to leave it for 24 hours, even lechatchila. So you can take Ben Yomo kelim, kasher them for Pesach right away. Ashkenazim say lechatchila, let your kelim sit for 24 hours before kashering. How hot does the water need to be? Boiling, where you can see the boils coming up. Ideally, one should wait for something a little where, like, the whole pot is really boiling and not just like a few little bubbles coming from the middle. Should you rinse the kelim after doing hagala? Lechatchila, we said yes. A person should rinse the kelim afterwards, or dunk them in cold water. Can you kasher milchig and fleishig in the same pot as long as they weren't used within 24 hours? Then one can you kasher both milchig and fleishig. Maybe put a little bit of soap that way, in case you forgot or anything like that, the flavor won't transfer. And what type of pot should he use? We said the pot should lechatchila be the type, whatever you want to transfer to. Whatever you want those kelim to now become, that's the status of the pot you should use. So if you're kashering for non-chametz, your kelim from chametz to non-chametz, ideally you want to use a non-chametz pot to kasher your kelim. All right, shkoyach everybody. We got the full.